Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Survivor Org podcast. I'm your host, Colin Connors. With me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Dennis Patrick. Say hello, Dennis.
Hey.
Now, a little time delay. Are you okay, Dennis? Are you fighting crime? Trying to fight crime and podcast at the same time?
No, I was reading IM during that.
Okay. Well, I hope it was a sexy IM. And with us, we also have Adam from Survivor Chronicles 5 and a couple other orgs. Say hello, Adam.
What's up?
And coming back is Dylan.
How's it going?
All right. Today, we're going to be talking about the sixth episode of Survivor Philippines. Right off the bat, guys, what did you think?
Yeah, we're only six episodes in. Yeah, it feels like a lot more.
Yeah, it feels like a lot more, too. I think they have, what, like 11 people left, no merge, no jury starting or anything like that. So I'm a little I'm hoping they do a final two, actually. I miss the days of final twos. So,
well, yeah, that was something I was thinking about earlier is we're at 12 people last episode and there was no merge. And now we're down to 11.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something hinted at in the previews. Do you think that's a merge, guys?
I mean, it's an alien attack. No, I don't know. I don't think it probably is a merge. They have to have one at this point. I can't think of another season that actually – there was one that had the merge at 11, and I can't remember what it was.
It would really make sense to have the merge here because that leaves – let's just assume that they're running the same style as they were going before where it's three people at the end with seven jury members. That means only one person's left out of the jury, which would make sense for, like, the first vote after the merge to be that one person that doesn't make it.
Okay, kind of like a merge route situation that we saw in earlier seasons.
Yeah.
I think they actually, in Cook Islands, they started the jury before they merged, if I'm not mistaken.
Same thing in Survivor Fiji also.
Yeah, Fiji, they started.
They started it really early in Fiji. They started the jury at like, no, they started the jury at 12. Because that was the first time there was a final three.
Yeah. So I remember like
Rocky. Oh, you know, Cook Islands was
nowhere. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Heroes vs. Villains was before the merge too, wasn't it?
Yeah, Heroes vs. Villains was before the merge also. But it's argued that the reason they kept the Villains tribe, or they kept the merge off, was so that way the Villains tribes would lose numbers. That's just the rumor around the web.
I like to not look behind the curtain, if you will, and just experience it the way that it is. So, I mean, as much fun as it is to think that production's got their hands in it or whatever it is, I ignore that and I enjoy it as a fan. It makes me a bigger and better fan, so...
Mm-hmm. Well, we kind of lost focus. Let's get back on track. What did you guys think of that reward challenge? Holy shit. Nothing like that has ever happened before.
You know, I was at my friend's house who doesn't watch Survivor. And although we had Hurricane Katrina in Guatemala happened, I said, you know, we had a whole season of Survivor Guatemala where I think their entire goal was to kill everybody. And so it was actually good to see a challenge where they legitimately tried to kill people. But people don't die that way anymore. They have appendicitis, so it's not the old-fashioned Survivor deaths.
When I first started looking at the reward challenge, and I saw the mud, and I was like, if that ball thing isn't light as hell, there's no way any points are ever going to be scored in this challenge. Because it was just too great of a distance to push that thing.
It seemed like a more traditional challenge you've seen in the previous Survivors. That was really looking forward to this.
An old-school challenge. Yeah. Down and dirty in the mud.
I actually appreciate the fact that in the latter seasons they made challenges to where anybody could win it, and therefore people like Colby, you know, can't, you know, do an immunity run, or the men can't do an immunity run. The sad part about it is it really caters to both genders, and we have these really crappy strategic women, which is my Survivor thorn. I can't stand crappy strategic women. So
yeah, same.
Well, I actually I do like kind of the more old school challenges, but I'm always afraid when I see a challenge like this of someone getting injured. I think back to Heroes versus Villains, James gets hurt, and that completely wrecks his game.
I agree with that. You know, and I have to cheer for people like James because he's from Louisiana, and I have to cheer for people like Artis because he's actually from the same exact place that I'm from. I think he lives down the street, as a matter of fact. So as bad and horrible as it is to watch angry people, I have to root for Louisiana people because they suck on this show.
I really have to, like, going back to the challenge, I really got to give props to Penner, though, because he was the first one that, you know, started doing the negotiating. I got to give real props to him going, like, I'm just going to make up my own rule right now and say that you can negotiate your way out of
it. Yeah, exactly. So it was, you know, classic Survivor, I think the new fans don't really see like the starvation aspect of it. So they're sort of reintroducing that element to it that, hey, don't forget these people are starving and they can't survive or whatever. So it's weird to see that back again. And I think that newer fans don't understand that, you know.
Well, it is. It's nice to see the survival aspect back into Survivor.
That's a good point. So, but yeah, so anyway, I was like, oh God, it's another big ball challenge. So it was good. You know, the thing that my favorite part about the challenge is seeing Denise in there, because I really love watching Denise this season, because like I said, I hate crappy strategic women. I hate weak women. I like to see a strong woman. And so I love to see her down in there beating people up and hanging in there. So go Denise. She's my favorite this season.
I think me and Dennis agree with you. Wait, no, Dennis likes Pinner, if I'm not mistaken.
I can't stand
it. I mean,
Pinner.
I did.
Pinner's my guy.
Dylan, you said Pinner's your guy?
Yeah, I love Pinner.
Well, what about Pinner? I feel like he's not on the top of his game this time around. I feel like he's making moves, which is nice, but I just don't see him being able to take control over everybody.
I don't know. I think he's really thinking long-term, which is, I mean, it kind of cripples players when they first play, but I feel like the fact that he is the veteran on his tribe, for him, it's either, you know, I'm going to make it far in this game or I'm not. And there's really no, like, you know, middle ground for him, which I kind of appreciate. He's kind of aware of, like, how veterans do in these kind of games.
Well, I think, pun intended, I think that Jeff Kent threw him a lifeline there, because I don't think Pinner would be anything if Jeff Kent didn't come up to him or approach him, or whoever approached to, however the edit went, if they weren't working together. Because, I mean, that's good for Jeff's game to have an unexpected alliance in, you know, that way. So,
obviously.
Well, I don't think that alliance is very much unexpected anymore, because Katie seemed to – Dawson actually last episode made comments about how it was the men versus the women. So –
I don't think it's gonna wind up that way. I mean, they always have this really macho thing, and that never works for the men. You know, I really see RC stepping up. I really see Denise stepping up, and I really see like the strong women really, you know, not in a poverty way where it's sort of this flirtation thing, but really out of pure strength. I remember the two episodes ago when Russell couldn't climb the ladder. That episode, we had RC going in the water over and over and over again. I like to see that kind of stuff, and I think that's gonna benefit her. And what Denise is doing in terms of a powerhouse will benefit her as well, because they'll be able to blend in with the men in that respect.
Denise really reminds me of Jane from I think it was Nicaragua. Mm-hmm. and she, because she just seems like somebody who could like seriously win several individual immunity challenges. Mm-hmm. She can make it to the merge.
I think if anything, Denise is even stronger than Jane.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, Denise is the best older female competitor that's ever been on the show. I kind of want to give that. I want to call that right now. I can't think of anyone that's better.
I think that's absolutely right. I think that in the former seasons, we have people like Kim Johnson, who makes it to the final two in Africa. And we have Kathy, you know, who makes it to the final, three in Marquesas. So, but those, you know, that's when, you know, Even in those seasons, they had those really physical challenges. So, I mean, they did something to really get themselves through it. But now they're sort of bringing back the Survivor element. So you really need a strong woman and not one that can ride coattails. Not that Kim Johnson did, but, you know, she did.
So. Yeah, Kim Johnson rode coattails. We can.
So
that's not breaking news.
Yeah, I didn't mean to go that far back, but that's what I think of my old lady Survivor. So,
well, I think of old lady Survivor almost in terms of Tina Wesson, where she had a great social game, but she wasn't going to win any immunities.
Of course not. Well, they weren't catered to women back then, or old people. They were catered to Colby back then. So, I mean, that's just what it was. So, and that's, you know, that's the most overrated Survivor of all time. I know we're getting off topic here, but I'm so glad the show is geared towards not making people overrated anymore. Mm-hmm. And you really have to come with a good game. So,
well, so the kind of vibe I'm getting from you guys is that Philippines right now is doing a good job of mixing the good things of old school Survivor, which is the survival aspects, the water challenge, and kind of also doing the good things of the newer seasons, which is, you know, having challenges that cater to everybody. And how do you guys think about the editing? Because I like the editing this season more than I've liked past season's editing by a lot.
This is already way better than One World, I'll tell you that.
I agree with that.
The editing is much better. It's much more spread out. You're hearing everybody's views. Like, Carter and Artis are, like, got like the most confessionals this week, which is really cool.
I know, yeah, that made good. Me so happy. But I really feel like though the damage with them has already been done.
I agree with that whole. I mean, you have to look at it that, you know, they're really just Penner's, you know, well, as far as Carter is, it's, you know, Penner's lackey or whatever it is. So, you know, they're showing them having an inability to make any kind of power move or whatever it is. And Carter tried to do something. It really didn't work. So, I mean, it's just, it's really, I still think it's really geared more towards the veterans. And that's kind of why I don't like the veterans in the game, because it really is. That's the reason for Rob's season when he won his season. That entire season was, how is Rob going to win this season? You know, and that was the theme of that entire season. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like that. And so this one, I agree with Dylan. It is a lot more spread out. Not quite, you know, Survivor China spread out, where everybody had equal say in Survivor China, which is like my second favorite season because of that. So I think they have real potential to make this an amazing season if they keep doing what Dylan said and really spreading it out.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Adam. I remember I watched part of Survivor Micronesia for prep for our interview with Mikey B, which is coming up soon, listeners. But what I loved about Micronesia was the fact that if you watch that season with no prior knowledge, you have no idea who's going to win.
Right.
It could be anybody. Whereas with the Philippines, I feel like there's four or five people who it could be, but at least it's not all focused on one person. It's not focused on a Russell or a Boston Rob. It's focused on Scoopin and Malcolm. And it was awesome. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
The best part about it is that if you think of like, you know, plausible winners at this point, I see like very few situations that have Scoopin or Penner winning. I don't think either of them have a shot at winning at this point, which is really interesting.
Oh, guess who has the most confessionals this season, guys?
Me.
Malcolm.
Oh, I thought we were talking about something else. So
no, we're not talking about.
Well, it's me anyway, so I'm going to award it to myself.
You know, if we get on the subject of Malcolm, we have to talk about that immunity challenge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That immunity challenge was amazing.
He turned into a beast.
I'm afraid, though, that because, I mean, Malcolm is one of the people that's getting one of the best edits, and, I mean, he has 27 confessionals so far. This episode 5. But
he has to have the most confessionals because his tribe was lost 4 challenges. So, I mean, who else are they going to talk about? So, I mean, just by virtue of losing, he gets the most confessionals, not because he's the most interesting person.
Well, he has.
So. Yeah, I'm sure Denise is up there for the same reason.
Yeah, Denise has 18 confessionals to Malcolm's 27.
That's still good, you know.
Yeah. And then the next person in line is Jonathan Pinner with 17.
Okay.
And then RSC with 16 and Jeff Kent with 14.
Okay.
And Scoopin only had 8.
Scoopin's not that interesting, too. I mean, you know, I really don't understand the point of bringing him back. But I guess, like I said, old fans of Survivor will go, oh, I remember him, you know, and then they might get back into it. So I don't know if it was a marketing ploy or whatever, but it's a whole new world, you know.
A whole new one world? But, yeah, this is the only season with returning players where I actually like the three they brought back. And a lot of it has to do with kind of just fulfilling that need to say, okay, let's really see the end of Mike Scoopin's journey. Let's see the end of Russell Swan's journey. And let's see the end of Pinner's journey.
I don't know if that's interesting, though. I don't know if that's a good thing because I like new people doing new things or whatever. I'm not interested in what happened to Russell. I saw what happened to Russell. The end. Move on, you know? So I don't like the returning players. I don't like the twist. I've never liked it unless it was Micronesia or All-Stars. You know, then that's just my opinion.
Well, Adam, what do you think of a second chance season? Because I want to see
I would love so that. Bad. So, I would love that.
So
absolutely.
You would rather just have the Scoopin, Pinner, Russell season along with the Colton and the Joe from Token Sheens.
I would rather not have a gimmick. I would rather not have a gimmick is what I'm saying. I think that if you're going to bring back returning players, make it make sense like Micronesia, which, by the way, is my favorite season of all time. That works. That season works. But I don't think that we're going to bring back people that we think people like. I think it then becomes a gimmick. So if you do a second chance season, do it for people like the game that we're in. Do it for people who got voted out pre-merge, who had the most potential. Jeff Proof always talks about Hunter Ellis from Survivor.
Exactly. Where the hell is Hunter, damn it?
Well, he's hosting the show on History Channel, I think. He used to have a show on the History Channel for a while. But like that, like people who had really good potential, like her name was Jacqueline from, Gabon, right. That was another person that, I'll pull that name out of my ass. That's another person that Jeff Probst really liked. So there's a lot of people that I would really like to see. I would like to see Sekou from Cook Islands come back. You know, I don't know why. I just think he'd be an interesting person to have back.
I think Billy Garcia should come back. And we also have our interview with Billy Garcia on the website.
Plug.
Yeah, I had to plug.
So yes, I mean there are really interesting people that I think just fell victim. You know, I mean people who fall victim to injuries is as interesting as people who fall victims to like bad numbers. You know, a numbers game or you know I mean, people like
in any game.
What?
That there's going to be people that fall victim to numbers. I mean, it's just something that happens in the game. I don't think it's necessarily something that you're going to center an entire season around.
Right.
I want to see Courtney back, but apparently she and production don't get along.
Which Courtney? Courtney Yates or Courtney the Fire Dancer Courtney?
Courtney from One World that got hurt on day three.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I had to think about it.
Courtney
okay,
Moon, good. Man. The only Courtney to me.
Okay. The one who jumped, they told him to cross her arms and she didn't do it. She broke her arm. Yeah.
I just want to see Cochran back. That's all I want to see.
I'd like to introduce a topic into this podcast for the last episode, if I may.
Okay.
I would like to talk about the fanboys' reaction to Abby Marie. Can we get over it, please? She's crazy. We get it, but you know this Abby Marie love needs to go somewhere.
Yeah, I am not the biggest Abby Maria fan. At first, I thought I would like her for the drama, but now she's just annoying. I just kind of want to like take a pillow and cover her face, not till she dies, but. Just for, just for her to stop talking.
You might have to interview her someday, so. And that'll be interesting. So what do you? I mean, I'm interested to hear what people think about Abby Marie and RC's friendship, and then all of a sudden she goes buck wild. Do they stick together, or does RC, you know, stay with her strategy, let her be crazy, or is that friendship over? What's the best thing for that relationship?
Well, I think for RC's game, it's just lie low and hope she makes it to the merge. But what I mean with her tribe winning every single challenge, that's not too far-fetched of an idea. And well, the target's on Scoopin' right now too.
Right. I don't know if the target's necessarily on Scoopin' because I think that if there's a merge or whatever, then it's really easy for RC to get with Scoopin'. You know, if Scoopin' chooses to believe RC, which you know I don't think that he would. Because it's just everyone hates RC for no reason. And, you know, it's just, people who play like Abby Maria and people who play like Peter, it makes my skin crawl to watch them. You know, it's really like watching Russell Hance again. I'm so great. I'm so manipulative. And I can't stand that. And there's a lot of people who really are drawn to that. And it's gross to me. So, I mean, it's Brian Heidick, you know, and I can't, that hurts me to watch.
Fucking manipulators, They're no good,
Adam. It's not even about manipulation. It's like going so far to your way to over-manipulate. You know, you can be very subtle like Parvati, you know. You can have a little bit of class. You could be like Amanda or whatever. You could be like Suri. But to like come in the game going, I'm going to manipulate and lie. And I'm the, you know, that's what you got to do. And then you don't win and you wonder why. You know, Russell Hance's fans wonder why he didn't win. Well, because he was stupid, you know. He made it so obvious what he was doing, and to be overly sleazy, no one's going to reward you with that. So,
true.
Let me get off my soapbox about Russell Hance because I know I'm going to make enemies. So,
it's okay. I think Russell's a decent player. I just don't, I'm very mixed feelings about him. I understand why he didn't win completely, and I kind of wish he did win Samoa, but also he should have known. He should have just been – if he's so smart, he should have realized just tone it down a little bit.
Right.
If he would have toned it down a little bit, he could have won.
Right.
He
and that's really could have. And I think that's going to be Peter's mistake in this game. I think Peter's going to – he thinks that he's got power. He's going to have an ego. And he's going to be backstabbed. He's going to get fans. His fans are going to be mad, you know. So it's like Dan losing Big Brother this season. Well, duh. Of course he's going to lose, but, you know. So – but anyway, I digress. I'm sorry. Yeah. But the point that I was trying to make was – you know, Peter's going to sort of follow in Russell's footsteps, and that's not going to be a good path for him to go down. You know, that ego, he needs to tone it down.
Well, do you think Pete's going to be able to be good enough to make it to the final three and make a solid alliance?
I don't think so. I think Pete looks like one of the – Pete's playing a fifth-place kind of game to me. You know, he's going to get to that point, and he's just not going to have the energy to really win those last challenges or the know-how to convince people to take him. So I don't think so. I think it's a fifth-place game.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just think that he's so young that someone older, like a Jeff Kent, might be able to figure him out and just get rid of him.
You know, they always hype older men up like that, and they never do. You know, they never really follow suit. I remember that I don't remember which season it was, but oh my god, it was, she got voted out second, and I think it was the second time Russell came back, and he was walking with somebody along the beach, and he was trying to get that girl alliance going.
That's Survivor Samoa, and he's talking to Betsy.
Betsy, that's what it was. So, you know, a situation like that, to where, you know, they recognize that the older people do know best, but they never really live up to that. You know, they never really, I'm smarter than you, and it never really works out that way.
Yeah, Betsy did know that Russell was going to manipulate, and then so did Marisa, but Russell had so much power that it didn't matter.
Right, and that's why, you know, that's the only time that I ever sort of removed the curtain to Survivor, and I look at, okay, so they're going to put Rob on a tribe with the dumbest people ever to walk the earth. Of course he's going to go far, you know? You're going to put Pinner on a tribe with the dumbest people to ever walk the earth. Of course he's going to go far. So, I mean, that's the only time that I ever gripe about production, so.
So, tonight we lost Katie. How sad were you guys? Dylan, how sad were you?
I was not sad at all because Penner's still around, which makes me happy. I was like freaking out because like I knew for a fact when I knew that he wasn't gonna play as idol because from his perspective you gotta think like, you know, I can either play my idol tonight and they're gonna try to blindside me and I'm gone next vote, or I'm gone this vote, and you know, like I said before, Penner's probably thinking that, you know, it's all or nothing in this game.
So might as well hold on to the idol until the merge kind of thing.
Exactly.
Well, that was one hell of a build-up.
Oh, yeah. They got to do that.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't expecting that level of a build-up at all for this kind of a vote. And yeah. I was positive Katie was going to go. I figured it would be Katie or RC. And then once, you know, Katie got a couple confessionals and then Calabal lost, I was like, oh, okay, it's Katie. But then they had Carter saying to Jeff, we got to do it, man. Let's take him out. I started shaking a little bit too.
That was kind of, it produced like the greatest line ever when Pinner walks up and he goes, is it Katie or Pinner? Like, you're going to ask Jonathan Pinner if he wants to vote himself out? I thought it was awesome. So
a little Freudian slip from Carter.
Yep. But I'm sad to see Katie go because, again, I'm just going to get on my, you know, come on, women, get it together kind of a thing, you know? So I'd really like to have seen more out of her. And, you know, you didn't. What you going to do? So.
Well, she was really weak, and it makes me wonder, or it kind of makes me look back to how much I liked Angie, because at least Angie had a bit more fight in her than Katie did. I'm missing my Angie.
Angie from?
From this season.
This season. I don't remember who that is.
The girl that got voted out third.
Okay, I got you.
Malcolm's cuddle buddy. Malcolm's booby trap.
That's all you had to say was booby trap, and I'm with you, so.
Dennis, did you miss Katie? Are you sad?
I mean, I was shocked when she was voted out. It seemed like for sure I was going to Penner. Mm-hmm. But do I miss her now?
No. So next episode, hopefully there's going to be a merge. What do you guys think is going to happen? Dylan.
I think it's an obvious merge. It'll be interesting to see how, you know, the numbers fall. I think people like, I think Penner and Scoopin are going to be in pretty good. I think anybody with an idol is really going to be in a place of power. I think the three people with the idols will make at least top five at this point. That's my prediction. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, I mean, if there's a crazy merge tribal council, do you think it's possible all three idols get played, Adam?
I don't think so at all. I think that there's going to be a Malcolm and Denise powerhouse. You know, I'm really rooting for the Malcolm Denise thing. I don't think all three would get played. I think that Denise would play to her strengths because she's in the minority when Pinner's tribe comes over, and I think that she can easily pull Malcolm over for information. So I think that maybe one would get played, but definitely not all three.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Dennis? What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I have to agree with Adam because I really think Malcolm is just going to really take off in the merge.
Well, is it us playing what's it called, armchair quarterback or whatever? But doesn't seem to me that it's that Calabal really should have got rid of Denise. Because to me, it just seems like it would be so obvious that Malcolm and Denise would have a bond, because just because they're the last two people.
They're stronger with Denise because Denise is in a corner. So of course, if you walk up to Denise and say I saved you, then she'll be loyal to you. But you can't do the same with someone like Katie, who's been low in a totem pole the entire game. So,
okay, I kind of see what you're saying. But to me, it just seems like if one tribe were to get rid of Denise, then suddenly, Mike Scoopin's tribe would suddenly have Malcolm in a corner. It just seems interesting that even Denise was never in true danger for any of the votes. It was never hinted at that she would be voted out. I mean, her name came up, but it was Katie or Pinner.
Well, I'm telling you, she's really rocking it. I mean, you have to infer that she's playing this great social strategic game. And like, Russell said in the beginning that he talked to Denise because, she was a therapist. So I think she really uses her real life experiences the way that you're supposed to do it and not necessarily lie about everything. So she's really playing to that strength and it's working. And I'm hoping. And also, while we're at it, I think we're giving Scoopin's tribe way more credit than they deserve. Like, yes, they have the number, but they're so ready to vote somebody out. Like in Palau when they wanted to vote Willard out, they'll lose just to get rid of somebody, So I think that as soon as Scoopin's tribe, and forgive me because I don't remember tribe names very well, as soon as Scoopin tribes go to the tribal council, I think they're going to be so eager to vote one of their own out. They're not going to want to stick together. RC's not going to want to work with Abby Maria, so...
Well, it could be very similar like in Token Sheens when they merged and Jace T's tribe was smaller in numbers, but because Coach's tribe had such a power struggle going on, it allowed JT's tribe to take over. This episode was pretty decent. I'm hoping for some really crazy stuff next time, though, with the merge. Dylan, do you have any final thoughts about this episode?
I think that the editing was really good to build up tension at the end because, to be honest with you, I was nervous as fuck for those last couple votes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I feel the same way. Adam, what about you?
I think that I'm happy to see Denise still in it. So I'm happy. I love Denise. I love her edits. It could be a season of all Denise and I would be happy, even if it wasn't spreading the wealth. So I'm rooting for her in the merge, and I'm glad that she made it.
Okay. What about you, Dennis?
Exactly what Adam said, but with Malcolm.
Dylan, are you the only non-Denise Malcolm fan here?
I fell in love with Malcolm in this episode because I really like, I love guys that people that try to win through physical challenges. I'm praying to find a season kind of like what Colby had, where like you don't need to worry about strategy because you don't lose immunity challenges. And that's something I love about Survivor. And I think Malcolm has like serious like capabilities. He just seems like on another level right now when it comes to physicality. Like he beat the shit out of Carter and then they moved Jeff Ken over to him and then he beat the shit out of Jeff Ken.
I'm just hoping that this doesn't put a huge target on his back, though.
I don't think he has his idol.
I don't understand how you give a retired baseball player an opportunity to do a challenge where you're catching fly balls. Not fair.
Old people.
Well, I mean, they gave they did this challenge on Survivor Redemption Island, and Grant was a football player, and he destroyed it, too. Well, he destroyed it, whereas Jeff Kent kind of sucked.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. It's been great. And be sure to catch our interview with Mikey B, which should be up soon. And have a wonderful afternoon.
Goodbye.